sometimes it's hard, right, to recognize if God is speaking to you. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over the next 3 weeks is how do we recognize God's voice and then how do we respond? So Tanya Harris, how many people were here at the seminar last week? Just raise your hand. Good. So a good number of you. So Tanya kind of kicked us off last week that there is an expectation that we will hear from God. And then today I'll be speaking, and then next week Brenda will be speaking, and the next week Pastor Wade will be speaking. You'll get three different kind of takes of what does it mean? What does it mean to hear from God? But we're also going to be doing this in the life group. So if you're not in a life group, this is a great time to get involved with the life group. And in the life group, one of the things we're kind of lifting up as some questions that we can be asking each other is these three questions. First is, what do you think the Holy Spirit is saying to you? Second is, why do you think it's God? And the third is, how can we help you respond to what God is saying to you? So the first one is, you know, what is God, Holy Spirit, saying to you? Because God can speak anywhere, anytime to anyone, right? And he doesn't need to speak just through the church. The church is one of the ways that he speaks through the sermons, through the prayers, through the life groups. But he can speak to any one of us individually. But then the next two questions is why we need the church. The next two questions is then we come in and we say, how do we know? How do we know this is from God? And then more importantly, how can we respond? Because if God is speaking to you even this morning, there will be a response. And then how can we come alongside and help you respond? So this morning, I'm looking at how do we hear God in the Bible. And the Bible is not the only way that God speaks, but it's the most common way that he speaks. It's also one of the best ways to check that what you're hearing is actually from God. Because if the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, he's not going to inspire something in you that goes against what's in the Bible. So it's a beautiful check, but it's also a way. And the title of this sermon, The Way of Burning Hearts, comes from Dallas Willard. And it comes out of this passage we're going to look at this morning. But it's really our prayer. It's our prayer that we would have our hearts on fire to hear God's word. Because if you think about it, is there really anything else in life than hearing God's word, right? That's where it starts for us. That's why it's a living relationship. That's why it's a living God. And as we hear God's words, that's the impetus to worship. That's the impetus to work. That's the impetus to live. So we're going to look at this closely, this burning heart. Sometimes if you're like me, we're kind of slow of heart. And so we're going to look at a passage of some followers who were slow of heart. And then they went to this burning heart together. John Wesley, who founded Methodism, wrote in his journal that he heard the introduction to the book of Romans. And as he heard it, he wrote that my heart was strangely warm. It was on fire. And that's our prayer. So let's begin in prayer. We're going to look at this passage together, and let's pray that God himself would open this word to us. So in Acts 16, Luke writes that the Lord himself opened Lydia's heart to hear what Paul was saying. So the Lord himself opened this businesswoman's heart to hear what Paul was saying. And so God, we pray that you would open our hearts, that Lord, you would be our teacher through your Holy Spirit. That you would take this word and that you would open it up to us. And that we might hear, God, what it is that you have to say to us. So Holy Spirit, speak. Move among us. Give us courage to open our lives, even though hearing you might disrupt our lives. It might disrupt our plans for today. It might disrupt our plans for the week. But God, give us courage to say whatever it is that you want to say to me, I want to hear and to do. So speak, Lord, as we come. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So you can see on the back of your bulletin the text we're going to look at. It's a familiar text from the Road to Emmaus. It's a powerful text. We're taking just a portion of it. But before we begin to look at this text, we need to understand a very central truth about the people in the Bible, the characters in the Bible. Because we're so often, as we look at the Bible, especially if you've been in the church quite a long time, is you kind of think, yeah, God spoke to them, but they were people in the Bible. But the people in the Bible are the same as us. They are like us. They had doubts. They had fears. They had questions. They're just like us. And the Bible itself tells us this, right? So there's this incident in Acts where God has worked powerfully through Paul and Barnabas, so much so that the people want to come and they want to worship them. They want to sacrifice and make sacrifices to them. And Paul kind of rips his clothes, because I think that's what you did in those days when you were really upset. He rips his clothes and he says this, "We are only humans like you are." And then in the New Testament church, you can see that there was this feeling that somehow the great men and women of old, like Elijah, somehow they were above us. And so James, the brother of Jesus, says this in James 5, Elijah was just a human like we are. And then he goes on, and yet when he prayed, amazing things happen. So they're like us. And that's going to change the way we read the Bible when we realize that you could be right there in that Bible story. And one of the ways to read the Bible is to put yourself in that story. So we're going to look at this text today, and I think this text, the disciples, they're easy to relate to, but put yourself right in this story where they are, because these are individuals just like you and I are. So we're going to look at Luke 24, and you can see it on your bulletin, and read just the first section here. A little bit of context probably be helpful. For many of us, it's a familiar story. But this is happening on the very first Easter. So this is Easter Sunday. Jesus has risen from the grave. He has appeared to the women. The women have come, told the men. The men don't believe the women. And everyone is in this kind of state of what is happening. In that context, then two disciples, we don't know if it was two men or a man and a woman or a man and his wife. Most think it was probably a man and his wife. One was Cleopas. The other person is not named. They're walking from Jerusalem after all of this happened, after the crucifixion had happened. And they're walking to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they're sad. Actually, they're more than sad. Sad would be an understatement. They're distraught. Because everything that they have put their life in over the last few years has changed. Their hope was in Jesus Christ. He was the hope of Israel. And now he's dead. And now they're trying to figure out what's going on. And now they can't make sense of it all. And as they're walking and they're talking and trying to figure it out, Jesus himself shows up. But they don't recognize him. And then Cleopas says this really interesting and actually quite humorous comment. Jesus asks him, he says, "What are you talking about?" And Cleopas says this, "Are you the only person in all of Jerusalem that has no idea what's going on, hasn't heard what's going on?" Now, the interesting thing is Jesus is the only person in Jerusalem that does know what's going on at this point, right? And then Jesus thinks that the disciples should also know what's going on. And that's where our text picks up. And so Jesus says to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Was it not necessary? And if you want to circle, that would be a good phrase. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it says when he began with Moses, the first five books of the Bible, beginning with Genesis, are called the books of Moses. So in other words, he went from the very beginning all the way to the end and showed how the scripture spoke about himself, spoke about Jesus. We were talking about this week, Wade and Brenda and I, and Wade rightly said, wouldn't you have loved to have been in that Bible study? I mean, that's an amazing Bible study, right? This is Jesus himself saying, okay, let me explain what the scripture is saying. And then he just goes through and begins to show how all of the scripture points to him. Now, I don't think, and Luke doesn't give us the indication it was a verse-by-verse proof texting, but what you get is this impression of the terribleness of sin and then the deep, deep love of God, which would make it necessary for Jesus to give himself in love for us. Was it not necessary? Because, see, this is what happens. We're kind of slow of heart. And he says this, you are slow of heart. We're slow of heart to understand what's going on in our situations. We can't figure it out. Why did this have to happen? Why is this happening? You might be in a situation right now where you're trying to figure out what's going on and why is this happening, particularly the hard parts, right? We can kind of understand the positive, overtly positive parts of the Bible, but the hard parts are the parts that are hard to understand. It was the part that these disciples were struggling with. And so that's where Jesus says, was it not necessary that the Son of Man had to die? Because they're asking the question, why did he die? He was our hope. Why did he die? And Jesus comes along and begins to open this up and to move them. Our preparatory verse this morning is from Romans 15:4, and it's a beautiful one. And it says this, it says, for everything that was written in the past, talking about the scriptures, was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope, that we might have hope. The question is, would you like this now? Would you like endurance? Would you like encouragement? And would you like hope? And that's what Jesus is doing as he opens up the scripture to them. He's giving them a sense of hope and a sense of encouragement, a sense that there is meaning for this, and he's giving them the big picture. Just a little aside, Pastor Brenda's working on a course right now on the big picture of the Bible so that we don't miss kind of the woods for the trees, right? So that we can see the overlay. So look out for that course as we offer that, because it's so important to see that big picture of the Bible and to understand what the Bible means for us. Okay, so I'm going to take it a little aside here, but I think it's a word for us today, not just our church, but it's a word for the church worldwide. And here's the word that I believe that out of this text God has really been laying on me, and that is a call for you to directly engage with the word. A call for you to directly engage with the word. Do you know, in the Middle Ages, the book, the Bible, was written in Latin. In some cases, it was chained to the pulpit because you didn't want people actually getting the word and reading it for themselves, even if they could read the Latin, because it could be dangerous, right? And the Reformers, the Martin Luthers, the Wesleys, the Tyndales, the Wycliffes, they gave their life so that this word would be accessible to everyone. And when it was accessible to everyone in people's own language, then it sparked this revival and this renewal. There was no middleman. Do you remember last week when Tanya was speaking and she was talking about Moses and how Moses was there and he would hear God. And initially everyone could hear God. And then the people said, we don't want to hear God directly. You hear God and then you tell us what he says. And there's this middleman, right? Okay, here's what I think sometimes can happen in our world today. You have the Bible in our pocket, right? It's right there. And probably in several different versions. But if we're not careful, we can still rely on the middleman. We can rely on the podcast. We can rely on the sermon. We can rely on the people coming and telling us what this text means. We can rely on the devotionals, which say, this is the text and what it means. Now, don't get me wrong. I love devotionals. I need devotionals. Devotionals for me are a little bit like, they're like energy bars or those energy gels when you're running, right? If you're doing a long endurance race, there's a time where your body just doesn't work without some extra energy. And there have been times where when I've been on a long race or endurance, that gel, that bar gave me what I needed to finish the race without cramping, without hurting myself. But we would be crazy if our whole diet was just energy bars, right? And gels. So let's keep those energy bars and gels going because they'll help people in the meeting. I receive about 4 or 5 of them every day, but that's not our diet. An athlete doesn't become an athlete on energy bars, right? And you were called to get into the Word and to let the Word get into you. And when you do, when not the pastor opens up the Word or not whoever opens a word, but when the Holy Spirit, when the Lord himself begins to open the word to you, your heart will burn inside. And many of you know that feeling. You know that feeling of God speaking to me. And then the church can come alongside and we can say, what's he saying? And is that him? And how can we respond? Okay, that's the burning heart. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. But let's go to the next part of the scripture. This part where after he's been speaking to them, this is back of the original part. We'll go to the next one. So in verse 28, after he's been speaking, they drew near to the village to which they were going. And then Jesus acted as if he were going on further. It's not play acting here. The word is not like he's pretending. He actually is planning on going on further. But they urged him strongly, saying this, stay with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They recognized this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? So they're gone. They've gone from being slow of heart. Now they're recognizing, okay, their hearts burned, right? And now they're energized. Now they've heard and they've seen Jesus in their situation. You know, they missed him because they didn't expect Jesus to show up. And it might be that we're missing Jesus in our situations because we're not really expecting Jesus to show up. We're not really expecting Jesus to have a word for us. And our expectations can limit us and they can release us. And that's part of our call as a church is we want you to expect that God will be speaking to us. But the question is, how did they recognize him? What was going on there? And Luke doesn't unpack this. But there's maybe several ways that they could have recognized him. One is they could have recognized him because of the way he had done the bread, the blessing of it before. It could have been something even at communion or at the Last Supper. They could have recognized him there. Another way that probably is more likely that they recognized him is because he became the host. And that wasn't in the code of hospitality. They invited him into their home, they should have broken the bread and given it to him, but Jesus takes it and he breaks it because that's just who he is, right? He's always going to be serving. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And so he's just doing it. And maybe that attitude of service is what just really came over. And they say, this is Jesus. I don't know. I think it might have been his hands as he was breaking the bread. And they saw the nails, holes. Later, that's how he's going to prove himself, right? Later, when he appears to the 11, he says, look at my hands. I don't know. But what we do know is they got it. They recognized it. They recognized Jesus is here. And when they did, that changed everything, right? That changed everything, and that can change everything in our situations when we can see that God is actually here with us. And so whatever situation you're in right now, where is Jesus? He's there. He's there. But where is he in there? And we pray for the eyes to be opened and the heart to be opened and the ears to be opened to hear and to see. And when we know he's there, then it changes everything. And it changed everything for these people because now they're no longer having to recognize, but now they're having to respond. And so now they respond, and then at the last part of the passage, it says, they rose that same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Now, here's what's the interesting thing to me, is that before, when Jesus is speaking to them, it's getting late, and they say to Jesus, hey, it's getting late, you don't want to be traveling, probably because it gets dark, it gets a bit dangerous, there's animals, maybe wild animals on the road, there could be robbers, and they're basically maybe wanting to continue this Bible study because they're liking it, and they say, you know, come, stay with this. They urge him, don't go, don't go, don't go. As soon as they see him, they're not afraid of the animals. They're not afraid of the robbers. They've got 7 miles to go, but they're taking off. That very hour, they're responding to God. And I think that's what happens to us. Like them, when God speaks to us, we just have to tell someone. Think about this. When you have heard God speak to you, give you a verse, give you a word of encouragement, didn't your heart burn to tell someone, to tell your spouse, to tell maybe a friend, actually, I think I've seen God. I think I've heard this from God. And we act and we respond. And that's when it gets exciting. Last week after the Saturday, I was asking someone, how did that go for you? What did you feel? And the person said, well, it's good. It's kind of, but it's easy to hear and maybe even not so hard to recognize whether it's God or not. It's the responding part. And that's where we need each other, because God is saying a word, and then we need each other to respond. So we recognize and we respond together. About a year before Marion and I left Germany, left the church there in Germany to come here and to serve at Community Church, about a year before that, God laid on our hearts a verse, and this was the verse. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And that was a verse that God gave to us, and you might be thinking, yeah, that sounds like you don't know where you're going, so that kind of works. But it's Abraham, right? And so we can think, oh, that's Abraham. Doesn't have anything to do with us because I am nothing like Abraham. But we are. Abraham had fears. Abraham had family. Abraham had questions. But the interesting thing, when God laid this verse on us, he gave it to us individually. And so he gave it to me first, and I began to process through this. And then he gave it to Marianne before I had said anything, and then we began to affirm and say, God is doing something. Now, to be honest, still not sure exactly the full meaning of this verse, because when God speaks, there's a certain richness that unveils over time. But what I want to lift this up for you is God can speak powerfully with just one verse. But what I also want to tell you and encourage you with is it doesn't mean that when God speaks to you immediately, you're going to have to pick up and leave and go where you don't know where you're going, right? Because sometimes it's just a lot simpler. This last week, as I was thinking of the sermon on Monday, I was saying, you know, God speak to me. And my particular devotional that week was this, Isaiah, or that Monday, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. I think this verse is for me, right? It may be for a few others out there in the gray hair category, but there's a sense where I think God also has a sense of humor, right? And he just says, okay, this is for you. You've got gray hairs. Hang in there. But it's also encouraging. And so when we hear God speak, it may be something that actually will change the whole trajectory of our lives. Or it may be something that just says, I see you. I love you. Still carrying you. Hang in there. But we open ourselves to hear God speak in the Bible, in the scriptures, and we ask that, whatever situation in, that the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, can make sense of your situation. Jesus could have just talked to them and made sense of it, but he didn't. He went to the scriptures, and he said, when you know the scriptures, you can make sense of your situation as I open it to you. So we're going to have Joe come up and pray for us in response here in a bit. But I want to ask you, what situation are you in right now where you really maybe can't make sense of it? Or maybe it's a loved one who's in a situation you can't make sense of it for him or for her. And you probably have a why question in there. That's what the disciples, they're like us. Why did he have to die? Why did this one we put all our hope in have to die? And then let God, in Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, open the scriptures to you and say, was it not necessary that this had to happen? And then ask, God, what are you saying to me? And how should I respond?